David Meltzer, welcome to the podcast. Welcome to Coming from the Heart. How are you today?
Fantastic. What a great place to come from the heart to and with. And I want to welcome your community, and being a part of that is a blessing. So thanks for having and giving me that opportunity to speak with you.
Absolutely. Well, let's just get started here, dive in quickly. I was on Instagram, always on Instagram, looking for different people, different voices. And I noticed that you were doing this reel about your dad. And I immediately connected, honestly, from my heart to yours. I lost my dad about 10 years ago, and definitely was a struggle after I actually lost both my parents. And you mentioned that your dad basically gave you, let's see, but he didn't really give you. Let me reference what you were talking about in the reel. What you were saying is that your dad said, are you going, would you cry? You should probably verbiage it. Something to the extent of feeling very sad, feeling like you wanted to just not move on. And being that you were part of your dad, as I've, of course, I'm part of my dad and everybody else is part of where they came from, is to take that background of what you've learned from your parent and just explode with it, do it. And that's kind of how I see my life right now with the podcast. I also love your story about the suit, that you can't take your money with you. And that is a classic line that my dad, you would have loved my dad. My dad would have said, and all I can say is welcome to this podcast. Thank you for your voice. You have the voice and you have the voice. And you remind me of my Uncle Bill. Only in a really, really good way. So mental health, I know, is a really big part of your platform of who you are and what you do. You're a speaker, you're an author, you're a sports executive. You wear all these different hats, you're an entrepreneur. And you seem to do so many different things in so many different communities. And I just want to have you speak and stop talking and just say hi and thanks for being here.
Well, thank you. And I think what you're referring to initially is how blessed all of us are to have a genetic and an energetic inheritance. And when we understand that inheritance genetically and energetically, we understand our essence, what we are born into, and the delta that we can create by understanding where we're starting off. Because the starting point of the human experience, which is based on 24 hours a day, days, weeks, months, and a lifetime, is reconciled with the infinite time of the divine. And within the context of the infinite time of the divine exists divine direction, what I call divine detours, which other people call mistakes, setbacks, failures, etc. And of course, the patience and faith that is required to allow everything to materialize within its right place in perfect time. So for me, our fathers had, and for you, I'm sorry, had a great influence because of that genetic and energetic inheritance in which we were blessed with, we were given. And we get to decide how we're going to receive that inheritance to protect, promote, and love us, to indicate better places to be. So the genetic inheritance may be alcoholism. It may energetically be compulsive gambling or emotional abuse or whatever it is. And it's what we give meaning to that actually indicates where we're going to be, because we are given, alongside this energetic and genetic inheritance, the ability to give meaning to anything. And so I was blessed, as you said, to lose everything and to be predicated upon my father telling me I was just like him. And at the time that he told me I was just like him, I told him, I'm nothing like you. You're a liar, a cheater, a manipulator, an overseller, a back-end seller. I'm nothing like you. He said, son, take the jacket with no pockets, hang it in your closet, remind yourself, whether you think you're like me or not, that you can't take anything with you. There's no pockets. Be buried in that jacket. You can't take anything with you, and have that reminder there. And that was a catalyst for me to tell my father I hated him. And I stopped talking to him for 6 years until I realized on a fateful day, when my wife told me she was leaving because I was a liar, a cheater, manipulator, overseller, and a back-end seller, and told me I better take stock in who I was and what I wanted to become, or I was going to die. And as I found out the next morning, I hated my mom, my dad, my best friend, and my wife. Why did everyone else, millions of other people, love me? And yet these four people, how could they see my greatness? And it was that jacket that saved my life. Because as I sat on my bed full of hate, thinking about these four people that I hated most, I realized when I looked at that jacket, which I hadn't seen in years, that I hated myself. I hated myself because I was the genetic and energetic inheritance of all four of those most significant people in my life. My mom, my dad, my best friend, and of course my wife. And I didn't hate any of them. I hated myself, and I had to come to the realization that I was a liar, a cheater, a manipulator, an overseller, and a back-end seller. And I needed to take stock in who I was and what I wanted to become. And that was 18 years ago. And I have been on a behavioral journey to practice who I was and what I want to become. And I will tell you that it hasn't been easy. It wasn't overnight.
No.
But here I am 18 years later in a better place, a better position, in a better situation. I make more money than I ever have. I help more people than I ever have. And I have more happiness, joy, peace, harmony, whatever words you like to use. I have more ease in my life and less dis-ease than I've ever had.
Well, I can see as you're speaking, I feel the energy in the intensiveness of what you experienced to where you've landed right now. It's so apparent to me, rather intuitive as I am, that you are, you know, like we say, grounded. But I know you're a big giver and you believe in kindness and what, you know, when you're giving, you are so receiving. And, you know, so am I. I mean, absolutely. But I think there's a lot of people that are not like that. And clearly you were not like that until this jacket experience, this revelation that your wife was going to leave you. Your community of your people were like, bye-bye, we're out. But what you also mentioned is that the communities that were you surrounded yourself with, as you thought, loved you. I think a lot of people think that because they loved you because you were providing probably money and connections, and they probably were very like-minded to you, you know? And I think I said at the beginning that you reminded me of my Uncle Bill for two reasons. I'm just going to go on a slight tangent. The voice, because you definitely have that voice. My uncle had the voice of radio, but also the voice of wisdom where you are right now. So, you know, I think that's what happens to a lot of people is that we surround ourselves with like-minded people and we think we're good until you have a revelation when your world starts crumbling. I know that it was mentioned, or I read something that, you know, you went through your own, if it's okay, if we can talk a little bit about this, depression, I'm not sure if it was anxiety, you know, where was that? Was that the pre to your wife saying, I've done enough, I'm out? When did that, or do you think it was something that you had, you know, I know that you grew up as I did in my family and my uncle did in his, with not a lot of money. And you were trying as a young person to prove something to yourself and to the world. And I think what happens in that type of a persona, I'm not going to group you into that, but you can agree or not, that you're so goal-driven on wanting to make money that everything else sort of goes to shit in your life. And, you know, so you can give me some thoughts.
Yeah. So as you mentioned, I was born in Akron, Ohio. When I was five, my dad did leave because he was a liar, a cheater, manipulator, an overseller, a back-end seller, and left six kids with a single mom who taught the second grade and packed my dinner in a paper bag and drove me around at night to convenience stores to fill up turnstiles with greeting cards just so we could eat and utilize sometimes food stamps to do that. So at a young age, I was super happy. I had this great mom, this great family, amazing siblings, so much love in my single mom, two bedroom apartment with six kids, that the only time that I suffered ego, the reaction to fear, was financially. anything that ever broke down created tears in my mom's eyes and a lot of dis-ease. Anytime she couldn't afford to give her children what they wanted, tears in her eyes and dis-ease. So at a young age, I said, I'm going to be rich. I'm going to heal the dis-ease with the one thing that I knew would do so. And so, like you said, I became intentional about making a lot of money that was going to buy me ease, the happiness that was missing, to take the tears out of my mom's eyes, which still means so much to me.
Yeah.
So I did everything I could. And 9 months out of law school, even though I didn't listen to anyone else about the internet in 1992, everybody said it was never going to last. Nobody would ever buy anything on the internet. Justice Scalia said nobody would ever do research on the internet. You need books. Somehow in 1992, and 9 months out of law school, I was a millionaire. 3 years later, we exited for $3.4 billion. So as much as I was in a definite purpose and intentionality of making money, I also was reinforced that money does buy love and happiness initially. And I started to value and identify with the money more than with the values that my mom had taught me. And slowly but surely, the values dissipated and the money aggregated, and I got lost and empty.
Yeah.
And that emptiness resulted 2 years after my transformation with the jacket and my wife, and 2 years after it resulted in me losing everything. I tell people I was well prepared to lose everything. It was 2 years earlier that I almost lost my life, and I woke up looking at the ceiling with no definite purpose. More money, not only the one thing that people don't even understand, it wasn't just that I was worth over $100 million. I was running the most notable sports agency in the world. So I had access to what billionaires couldn't afford to do, plus the money. And I lost my way. And you talked about Uncle Bill and the radio voice that he obviously had, which I've been blessed genetically to have. Yes. But the wisdom, the one addition I would have to that is my voice has something else today that it didn't have previously. Always had a radio voice, never had a wisdom voice, which I have ascertained, but I also have a voice of faith. It is the wisdom and the faith that has shortened the distance of resistance in my life. And I believe very simply, and I have a harmonious relationship with religion, spirituality, philosophy, theory, even politics, that I am part of an infinite, abundant, unified system of thought. And I am protected, promoted, and loved by something bigger than me that's omniscient and all-powerful, and it loves me more than my mom. And that faith allows me to stay, to keep in purpose, in intention. And if your purpose is greater than your pain, you will never lack commitment. And you see, it's not the mistakes that make you fail. Mm-hmm. It's lack of commitment. And you need wisdom and faith to stay committed to the consistent every day, persistent without quit pursuit of your potential, your truth, not what other people want, not what's missing, not what you don't have.
Right.
Take this gap of I am David Meltzer, not this is what I want people to think I am, David Meltzer.
Exactly.
Imagine starting a small business, your first customer, your first hire, your first real paycheck. It's an exciting time, but also a little scary. That's where JustWorks comes in. As an all-in-one platform, JustWorks supports small business growth by providing seamless tools for benefits, payroll, HR, and compliance, all with transparent pricing. Running payroll is now painless. You can complete it in 90 seconds or less and automate payments. So it's as simple as set it and forget it. In 2023 alone, JustWorks processed over 25.6 billion in trusted payroll for its customers. And you won't have to worry about paperwork. They handle payroll, tax documents, and reporting to ensure compliance. Visit justworks.com/podcast to join thousands of small businesses that trust JustWorks to manage payroll, benefits, compliance, and more. That's justworks.com/podcast. Whether you're a first-time wine drinker or a wine aficionado, Justin has a wine for every celebration and occasion. Since 1981, Justin has been producing world-class Bordeaux-style wines from Paso Robles on California's Central Coast. The Justin team believes that the wine should be exceptional from every angle, which is why their team uses boutique winemaking practices like hand harvesting and hand sorting. With a rich history of accolades, Justin produces exceptional wines and is proud to be America's number one luxury Cabernet. Enjoy exceptional wines all season long with Justin. Whether it's for seasonal celebrations, festive dinner parties, or gift exchanges, Justin Wine is sure to make your holidays memorable. Pick up Justin Wine today at a store near you. Visit justinwine.com and enter Playbook 20 for 20% off your order. Justin offers the perfect holiday gifts for clients, colleagues, friends, or family. Be sure to check them out at justinwine.com to receive 20% off your order for a limited time.
What do you want people to remember you by when you pass?
Kindness. Kindness. It's the basis of everything I do. You know how easy decisions are in our lives? You know how easy it is to prioritize things in our lives when all you use is a litmus test of what would be the kindest thing that I could do?
Yeah.
It's so easy for me to make decisions. It takes a lot of faith to be kind.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of faith. But I use that as my North Star. I make very quick decisions. I have so many options, opportunities, and touches of favor in a world of abundance every day. I prioritize things in instants, in minutes and moments, because I simply say, what's the kindest activity to my health, to my family, to my finance, to my future? And by doing good deeds, you are being kind to your future self, by the way. So it's quite easy to make decisions and prioritize your life.
I love that. I'm thinking about your mom. I'm thinking about your mom as a single parent, doing her, being a teacher. I come from a world of educators, so I feel like we have this connection. My dad was a school principal. My mom was a teacher, hardworking, worked many, many jobs. I had that work ethic, that insanity, I think a little bit, that I was born into in my own head, and I sort of passed that out to my own kids. But the kindness part was always your mom. And I think that what you thought as a kid was like, okay, to make money would be happiness. But you had the happiness, as you mentioned. You were a happy kid amongst your siblings, but our culture, our world, look, money, does money make us happy?
Money allows you to shop. And if you shop for the right things, for the right reasons,
yes,
aligned with your divine direction, it will assist you or buy you happiness, but you have to shop for the right things for the right reasons.
I went to a Yankee game last night. I'm wearing my...
I'm sorry.
I know. I know. It's what are you going to do? So I said to my son, look, you know what? If they get to the World Series, we'll go. And I was like, shit, the tickets are so expensive.
Yeah.
I'm crazy. This is insane. I called him yesterday morning. They won, of course, the day before. I go, we're doing it. Let's go. He's at University of Delaware. He's like, are you crazy? Yeah. We're very close. We're very sports minded. He drove from Delaware. We went to the stadium last night. Okay, they lost. But here's my moment that I will share with you. I was thinking about that this morning. When I saw his face after Judge hit the home run, and then, you know, the next one was, oh my God, what's his name? Jazz. Okay. My son's face, it could have blown up. His eyes were about to pop out, and you could feel this like momentum. And I looked around the stadium because I feel I'm very similar to you, and I'm a very big observer of people. And I see all these people that were so freaking happy. They were so happy. And I'm like, if you could have just frozen my kid's face, frozen people's reactions and this energy, we would have like an incredible world to be living in, because that's it. Look, the game was expensive as hell. I'm kind of pissed that they lost. But the reality is that this was a moment I chose to do with him. And it gave me such an abundance of joy to see him, us, in this space. So I just had to add that to what you're talking about.
My whole life is like that now, where it's, I am in that state. What am I doing to interfere with it? And it is the reaction to fear that interferes with that momentum, energy, inspiration that creates greater intuition and intelligence amongst all. And, you know, I got into it with a few people because I made a statement, which I still believe, that no matter who wins the election, I had my one vote and you have your one vote. No matter who wins, whether it's the Yankees or the Dodgers that win that election, I will be better off. I will be better off. But the majority of the collective conscious is not in the mindset that I'm in. They're in, I'm worried, what if the other person wins? My life is going to be ruined. Mm. And these moments, there's four things to look at for that value, right? Remember, value is only derived in two ways. One, by giving people more of what they like, or taking away some, if not all, of what they don't like. So when we make an investment into something that someone really likes, like the World Series, I'm one of those people.
Right.
There's an experiential value. There is a personal value. There is a giving value and receiving value. There's a harmony between those four things. And yes, we will never forget, as I have not forgotten, when the Yankees beat my Padres 4-1 in the World Series. And I sat there with hope and dream. But in each of those games, there was a moment when I was sitting with my wife, who is a native San Diegan as well.
Okay.
And it's still here. It's still here. And I've made shitloads of money. And it wasn't nearly as expensive as it is today. But you can't take that investment from me. You can take the real estate and the cars and the boats and the ski mountains and the golf courses and anything else that I've had. You could take those from me. And it doesn't have any impact. But you can't take those experiences away. So anytime I have the option, and I will tell you this about digital technology and avatars and AI, it only increases the value of a Taylor Swift concert ticket or a World Series ticket or a Super Bowl ticket, because anybody that goes realizes it was expensive, but it was worth it. And it was worth it whether you won or you lost. And I love that lesson. Unfortunately, we're going to have to do this again. I always keep track of our time.
I love talking to you. Last moments, because I know you're a busy guy, and this is such a cool conversation. We have to have lunch if you come to New York. We'll have to sit down and have some lunch.
15th, I'm doing a VIP dinner. I'm doing a UFC mastermind, a VIP dinner. We actually have a suite at UFC 309 if anyone wants to join us. So make sure you invite your community. If they can't make it, I always send my book for free to your community. So I'll sign it, send it to everyone, pay for the book, pay for shipping myself. So it's not one of those deals. I just want to empower people in your community to empower others. And I know my book is a step in that right divine direction. David@dmeltzer.com. Email me, come and join me. Hopefully I'll see you on the 15th in New York. And if not, we'll do more content.
I would love that. Last moments. What did you do for your mental health today? Besides speaking to
the same thing every. Yeah, I do the same thing every day. I have an unwinding routine. So my day starts at 9 p.m. So I put my mind, body, and soul in a position to recover and access information before I wake up. And so the number one thing that I did for my mental health is utilize an unwinding routine and get my minimum of 7 hours of sleep. So I recover better than most people on earth. I receive information for the next day to utilize and transcend my day better than most people. I want to be in the Sleep Hall of Fame by the way. So that's my mission someday, to be known as the best sleeper. And I know that's weird, but it helps me perform. And it's great for what sticks between these 2 years. So everyone, make sleep a priority. I have a sleep coach, had a sleep coach for 17 years. If you need any advice on sleep, what has two thumbs and is a great sleeper, right here. And thank you for having me.